Hi everyone, this is Dr. Will Horton of NFNLP.com and the number one NLP and hypnosis training institute in the world. And today I want to talk a little bit about rituals and why rituals are so important and how you can use rituals and what drives rituals. And it will also tie into why the trainings that we do, like the upcoming trainers training in November down here in Florida, the National Guild of Hypnotists trainers training, along with the NFNLP trainers training, why it is different than any other training anywhere else. Even our basic and our NLP is really radically starting to change because we understand some concepts that very few people get. So anyway, what we're going to talk about today is rituals. What are rituals and why are they so important? I like to say, by ye rituals, you shall know them, to kind of take a quote from something else and kind of slaughter it, so to speak. In other words, when you see someone, if they have certain things in their lives, you could probably backtrack and figure out what rituals do they do to get them where they are. Of course, one of the obvious would be if you see somebody in great shape and they're a little bit older, not in their early 20s, because sometimes in your early 20s, you're just in shape. But especially, you know, a little bit later, if they're in great shape, I can guarantee you 95% of the time, one of their rituals is exercise and probably eating right. Why? Well, you can look at them. You know, you don't look that way unless you do certain things to look that way. It's just what happens, and you can know it. When you see people that are that write a lot of books, I think of one of my friends. He's written a lot of books. One of his rituals, he writes every day. He writes every day. Now he's got a different ritual he put together that I found out about. It's like, hey, that's actually brilliant. But he does it in a certain way, and that ritual is the result. The result of that ritual, excuse me, is the fact, you know, he's publishing a couple books a year. And so it becomes a habit. But we confuse the two, because you can have a habit and it becomes ritualized. But that's not to say that the habit and or the ritual will stay with you forever. We may have rituals that are part of our lives today and may go away. I remember the other day I was working out, and I was there with another guy about my age, and one guy there was kind of, you know, it's a gym, so they're kind of a little ball busting, as we would say, and he was a younger guy, early 20s, bodybuilder kind of guy, and the other guy looked at him and says, you know, I'm not impressed with you looking that way now. You know, he goes, yes, you're in great shape, and you know, he's getting ready for competition. He goes, I want to see you in 25 years. And the guy's, well, he goes, no, because this guy that I was working out with was a competitive bodybuilder, amateur mostly, but still he was a competitive bodybuilder. For many years, he competed and won awards and things like that. And he goes, probably 3/4 or more of the guys I trained with 20 years ago that were bodybuilding in the 80s, you know, in the 90s. I mean, they were competing. He goes, you see them now, they waddle in a room. They don't do it anymore. And he goes, so I want to see you, he told this young guy, I want to see you in 25 years. Are you still working out? You know, because right now you're doing it for whatever reason you're doing it. And it's sort of a ritual, but what happens when life gets in the way? What happens when life gets in the way? Because a true ritual, you're going to do regardless of what's going on, you know. And in the next video, I'm going to be talking about the difference between must versus shoulds. Right. But also then that ritual becomes a must. But we have rituals that we maintain through parts of our lives that may go away. I know my wife was talking to someone that went to Catholic school like she did. And for, you know, 6 days a week, they had to go to mass, you know, every day during school. And they had certain responsibilities on Sunday at the church. So they had to go and do things at the church. How many people keep that up after they're out of, you know, Catholic school? Not too many. Some do, some don't. So what are the rituals? You may have religious rituals. You may have physical rituals. You have different rituals for different things. Oh, and by the way, this is the new shirt that we're beginning to put out there. It's the NFNLP shirt, Discipline, Honor, Integrity. We also have three-dimensional pens that we're starting to do that separate us from everybody else. I'll be talking more about those on a special thing on why you want to anchor yourself to success. But today with the rituals, so what drives rituals? When you see people do things and you see them make it a part of them, what does that? Well, part of it, the reason I tie rituals into questions, you hear me talk a lot about the questions you ask drive your brain. It has to do with your reticular activating system. You know, whatever, if you ask a question, your brain tries to answer the question. And if your question, if the question causes your brain to look for something, you know, like it will do that. Because you've told your brain this is important. Just like, you know, if you like a certain car, a certain outfit, you lock in and go, I like that. And your brain will find it for you in the real world. So if you're adding a ritual, let's say exercise, you're probably asking questions like, you know, how can I get in better shape? How can I enjoy today's workout? How will I do different today than I did yesterday? How can I do a little bit better? Whatever. If those are the questions you're asking, it's going to drive you to do it. Because I guarantee you, if you ask the opposite kind of questions, why does this suck? Why do I have to work out so hard? Why is it so hard? Your brain will go down the opposite way, and you can break a ritual. I remember talking to a friend of mine who was very active in the 12-step world for way over 10 years. I mean, several meetings a day, kind of just, we all knew each other from that world. And then he kind of quit. And I was talking to him, and I was just really, this was 25 years ago or so. And I was just really learning about this stuff. And he said, well, you know, he used to really enjoy meetings. I'd walk in, and he kind of said this. I'd walk in and I'd say, oh, what's going to go on tonight? Am I going to, you know, who's going to say something I can use? Who's going to say something stupid, whatever it is. But he was looking to enjoy it. And then he said, he started asking himself, why do I come here? Why am I listening to these idiots? Why am I, you know, and well, once he switched the questions, the ritual changed and it was easy for him to leave what at one point had been a ritual for him. So the questions you ask, again, if they're positive, they're going to drive the ritual. If they're negative, they're going to change the ritual the other way. It's how you can get rid of a ritual, you know, the opposite. Again, in addictions, for years, it's part, go to the bar every Friday and Saturday. But when, because, ooh, what's going to happen? Am I going to meet somebody? Is this going to happen? What, you know, what's going to go on? But it's fun and it's positive. But if you start asking the negative questions like, oh my God, am I going to get a DUI this weekend? Am I going to get fired? Am I going to spend too much money? And you start asking negative questions, and it becomes easier to get rid of that ritual. But we don't realize that we have power over our rituals at any given time. So why don't we use this? What rituals do you want to add to your life? You know, in my life coaching course, my NLP life coaching, which is really stands for No Limit People Life Coaching. Yes, it's neuro-linguistic programming, but I say the NLP in this case stands for No Limit People. I just finished the experiential part of the class, where a big part of it was creating a ritual of success. You know, like, what do you do in the morning? Do you take time for gratitude? Do you do this? The questions you ask, I made this part of the ritual. And I can guarantee you the people who are going to keep most of that in their morning routine as part of their ritual will have a different outcome. Tony Robbins, my dear friend Tony Robbins, talks about his rituals in the morning. He shares everything. He goes, he does something for, like, he says, 10 minutes. And people I know that have worked with him in the past said, yeah, he does this every morning, you know, when they're around him and they can see, you don't always see people. But, you know, he does certain rituals every morning. He thinks about things he's grateful for. He asks questions like, how can I do this today? How can I do that today? In an enjoyable way, how can I be a better person? How can I impact my clients? He asks these questions. And then he does a couple other things, but that's his ritual. And obviously, it's made him very successful. So, but what are some of the rituals that you do? Do you do a ritual? Do you do a ritual? Right? Again, when you look at, like, good athletes, I'm recording this, obviously, it's in the football season. And I like to watch, you know, the pregame, and you watch the rituals certain teams do, right? And it gets them ready for the game. Do you have a ritual? What is your ritual? You know, how do you get ready to do a session? How do you get ready to do a training? One of the things I do different in my trainer's training than everybody else is I'm helping you install some rituals and ask better questions. So when you go into your training, it's going to be much different than what most people do. Okay? One of the things I talk about is how can we use NLP and hypnosis to teach NLP and hypnosis? It's not just the material. It's how do you deliver the material? You know, how can I install the proper mindset? How can I install the proper beliefs and attitudes, not just the material, the visual squash, how to do a Dave Elman induction, whatever it is that you're teaching, how do you do it? So And part of that's the ritual you have going into it. And what are the questions that you're asking? And you know, most, if not all, trainers don't understand this, so they don't do it. They beat you up on the technique or the material, which is irrelevant. Sometimes it's like, how do you present it? If you're comfortable with it, how do you present it? But again, so what are your, do you have rituals in your training? You know, again, we'll use, lately I talked a lot about Tony Robbins, because if you're going to model, why not start at the top and then go from there? If you've ever been to one of his trainings, he has certain rituals. Every little session after a break or first thing, how does it start? It has a ritual. It's loud music. They're dancing. They're moving. They have all these things to get the audience pumped and motivated. He doesn't walk out and just go, hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is, you know, it's a ritual. And you get used to it, right? And then, you know, you'll be in the building and you'll hear the music and you know it's time for the session to start and, you know, you get in there. So do you have rituals? Do you understand how to set the proper ritual for what you're going to do? You know, what are you going to do? How are you going to do it? And then again, what questions you're asking yourself if you want to get new rituals, you know, what are your rituals? What changes do you need to make? How can I easily let go of my negative attitudes and beliefs about being a successful trainer? If you begin to ask that question, your brain will go in different directions, you know, and it'll begin to find what you really need. And so that's one of the things that we do different than everybody else. So again, what are your rituals? What do you do on a consistent basis? Do you have a morning ritual? Most people, you stumble out of bed, get your coffee, if that's what you do, you know, you're that. But what if you add something new to you to change it, right? Was there anything in your past that used to be a ritual that now is not, that maybe you want to bring back? I keep saying I need to get back into training martial arts again. I just haven't, to be honest with you. It's not a must for me. The next recording will be on must versus shoulds. And you know, I should, you hear me keep saying that, but I haven't done it yet. But what I have added is a little ritual at night. My wife mentioned it the other night, is I do just a couple minute, like little, some yoga stretches, you know, and I do some yoga exercises during the day. Why? I need a new ritual because I want to add a certain outcome. The outcome I want is more flexibility, especially for my knees and my hips. And I know there are certain things I can do. And if I make it a ritual, especially first thing in the morning, or in this case, I do it last thing at night, because I read that's a good time to do these stretches is right before you go to sleep. Your body's warmed unless you get moving, you stretch it out, and you go to sleep. And it the way I understood it, it seemed to help better. In the morning, do some gentle stretches. But I need to add these rituals. If they don't become a ritual and then they don't become a must, it's never going to happen. It's going to be a coulda, woulda, shoulda. You know, it's going to be a coulda, woulda, shoulda. So what ritual do you want in your life? What, first of all, what outcome do you want? That's another way to look at it. What do you want the outcome? What's your goal? And then when you look at someone that has that goal, what are they doing that you are not? What is their ritual? I was watching a webinar the other day of a guy younger, about the same age as my daughter, and very successful in our field. And I was sitting there thinking, what rituals get him to where he's at? And he was sharing them. He was talking about what he does, how he does it. And some of this is ritualistic. And we do that. And again, I want to close this with the reason this is so important. It's part of your neurology. It's developed through thousands of years of evolution that we like rituals, right? And it's just the way your brain works. Your brain likes things that it's known. You know, it's like I constantly point out the study that if you were getting off a highway, if you're in a strange city and going to have something to eat, and there's a few restaurants that you know of, like Wendy's and maybe Chili's or something, and let's say you really don't like those, and then there's an unknown, like a Bob's Diner. Statistically, most people will take the known, even if they don't like it, over the unknown, even though it may be the best little place to eat you've ever ate, but you don't know, but your brain will go, yeah, but I'm comfortable with this uncomfortableness. And that's what happens with rituals. First of all, you need to add new things. Maybe one of the rituals you want to add is a ritual to open up yourself to new experiences. Don't always go to the same place and do the same thing. Again, when I look at people that exercise regularly, one of the things is the people that do it quite well, they're constantly changing their routine. They're not doing the same routine at 60 that they were doing at 30. I do three sets and three, whatever it is. They usually mix it up, maybe change their thing. That brings freshness, that brings new things. So maybe one of the rituals might be, how can I add variety? How can I add new things to what I do? So what I want you to do is think about, what are the rituals in your life that serve you? Maybe you have some rituals that serve you well that you don't want to change. You know, and then they turn into musts. One of mine is I exercise. I eat clean most of the time, not all the time. But most of the time. Those rituals seem to serve me, right? Do I have rituals that don't serve me? Yes. And I need to change those. So, you know, to get rid of them and start asking negative questions. And, you know, how can I just jump in and do it? If procrastination becomes a ritual, what if you start asking yourself the question, how can I just jump in and do it, right? And then you'll begin to change that ritual. And you'll, how can I easily find ways to enjoy this task I used to hate? You know, whether it's write an article or make a sales call, whatever it is. If you ask different questions, make it a different, and give yourself a ritual, right? Again, like the athletes have their pregame ritual, pre-bat ritual, basketball player before a free throw, they do whatever they do. So add these kind of things because it is in your neurology, so you might as well use it. And again, we teach this and very few people do because they don't understand it. They don't understand the idea of how you ask the right questions, do this. And how a lot of us in therapy notice our clients come to us and they're quite successful. Let's say they're coming to us once a week for 12 weeks for a long-term weight loss program. They drop in weight, they're doing great. And then when they first quit coming for the weekly thing, they do okay. And then through time, it seems to the success doesn't do as well. And I'm always wondering why. Well, one of the things I've noticed, and when I talk to people, that they use the 6 or 12 sessions, and it becomes, they're changed permanently. One lady, I've been doing this for way over 30 years. She lost the weight like 30 something years ago. It's still off. And she's like in her 80s now. And she goes, but to this day, she still gets up in the morning, drinks a big glass of water, and goes for a walk. She goes, no, I don't walk like I used to. She used to walk, you know, a couple miles now, but she moves every morning. That became a ritual. She internalized the ritual she was doing because she knew she had to do it for that. Her original thing was 6 weeks. Then she did 6 more weeks. Then later on, she did another program with me. But she goes, I knew when I was in your office that you were going to be asking me, are you listening to your CDs? Are you doing this thing? Are you drinking your water? Are you going for a walk? And she goes, it just became things. And then she kind of even hinted. She goes, you know, and I asked myself, you know, what am I going to see on my walk today? Yeah, she pretty much walks the same place like a lot of us might. But if you're asking, what am I going to see different today? You know, every day is a new day. You might see something different. And it became, she internalized the ritual. Very few hypnotists and very, very few NLPers understand that you need to internalize a lot of this, you know, make it second nature and then have it become self-reinforcing with the questions you ask and then make certain things rituals, you know, and then add it to your logical levels and actually apply what we do. I guarantee you 99% of the NLP trainers, the NLP practitioners, the hypnosis trainers, practitioners do not know this. So why not become one of that 1% that does? So anyway, we're having an NLP and National Guild of Hypnotists trainers training in November. So if you want, and one of the things we'll be doing is adding new rituals and making things a must rather than a should, and take your stuff to the next level. So I'd like to thank you for being a part of this. And I look forward to seeing you as we trudge the road to happy destiny. Keep in touch. And if you have ideas or questions you want for a podcast and or a web, like this, a video quasi webinar that I put out, just let me know. Have a great day. And thank you for being part of my life.